Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the fuck up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
All right, guys, welcome to the show. It is Monday, the 3rd of February. And I know last time I did this, you gave me shit, Lewis, for stating the date. But to me, the fact that it's the 3rd of February already, we're already into the second month of 12 of 2020. I mean, the time is going by far too quickly, but thanks for tuning in. Thanks for taking the time to listen to our little rinky-dink show. We appreciate you. How you doing, Lewis?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm doing pretty good. I'm feeling very good, feeling very healthy. Been eating good, been dieting good. Thank you, Michael Hearn. We have a big fight this weekend. Your life is... I've been watching your life. You've been living it up. Mr. Mom over there. I've been watching just videos with the kids, taking them to the gym, shopping, cooking, cleaning. Look at you, Michael Bisping. Who would have thought that you had that in you?
You know, thank you, first of all. I mean, you know, they say, don't they, a woman's work is never done. A woman's work is never done, you know, and they're right. You know, I mean, I get out of bed. I got to get the breakfast. I got to get Lucas dressed for school. I got to drive him to school. I come back. I got to take Ellie to her school. I come back. Then I got to go down to Ralph's. Got to do some shopping. Then I come back. Got to tidy the house. You know, I got to pick up the dog shit in the garden. Then I got to walk the fucking dogs. Then I got to pick the kids up. Then I got to cook them dinner. I got to cook them lunch. I got to do all that. I got to work out. I got to do the podcast. I got to research. I got to fly places. I got to do a lot of fucking things. But I tell you what, I'm doing all this stuff standing on my fucking head, Lewis. Standing on my head. I mean, women complain and whine and moan, and they have you feeling like, you know, you should be personally and forever indebted to them for the presenting you with a coffee, for making you a sandwich, you know, for tidying the house. But I'm telling you, I'm here. It's a one-man band. There's me. There's three kids in the house. And it's never been run smoother, in my opinion. It's smooth.
I mean, look, women are great. Okay, and we appreciate the work they do, but to pretend that it is like, you know, crazy difficult work, you know, there's a great Bill Burr joke where he talks about it, where he's like, yeah, being a mom is the hardest job in the world. And he's like, yeah, have you ever roofed in August? It's like, it's such a, you know, we really do pat him on the back. I'm a single dad. I do the same. I do it weekly, Mr. Bisping. So you're actually, you're just having a little taste of my life.
Listen, I don't want to get into the specifics, but you have one child, not three. And, you know, you and the mother of James aren't together anymore. So it's shared parenting. So you can't, you've got one kid half time. Okay. I've got three kids full time.
Two of your kids are fucking adults. Your kids, you have adults to help take care of everything in the house. I have a 7-year-old. If I left James alone for an hour and a half, he would be dead. My son would be dead. Okay. So yeah, it's a little bit more responsibility. We're in a comparable situation. You have a wife to take care of. You're sharing responsibility in the house. What's the difference? If you're just breaking down the amount of minutes with the child.
I do not have a wife. She's tripping the light fantastic in Australia right now. With fucking Aaron Tony, they're going at it big time. They were at the Fat Boy Slim concert on Sunday. They're eating today. They're going to a beach. They're going to an island. They're taking a boat trip out there. They're
romantic.
Living their life. And let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. I'm lying. I am fucking lying. I am sick of this shit. I need my wife back ASAP because I'm putting a brave face on it. I'm like, oh, this is easy. I hate my life right now. This is awful. This is, I don't know how women do it. And I'm joking. Earlier, I was joking for all you feminists out there. I seriously doubt any feminists are listening to this show. If they are, it's purely so they can write a letter of complaint to YouTube. But yeah, dude, I need my wife back because God bless her. I have never appreciated her so much in my fucking life. Please, I am sick of walking dogs. I am sick of picking up dog shit, feeding the dogs, scraping up the jizz off the floorboards, feeding the children. Do you know
the
what
jizz?
I mean? No, I'm sick of. I'm just sick of having an apron on in the kitchen cooking dinner for these unappreciative little bastards.
Yeah.
Do I get a thank you? Do I get a thank you? No, I don't. You know, it's a thankless task, Lewis, that I'm doing right now.
Yeah, I still stand by it. I don't fucking buy it. If I could be a housewife, if I could just be a housewife and live in the Bisping Hef Mansion, all I gotta do. All I got to do is clean up a little bit. First of all, you have a team of Mexican maids that come in and clean your house. So it's like what Rebecca does is she tidies around the house. She picks up things here and there. It is a whole different world. Her life is the best. You're just used to it. It's a different time. Michael Bisping grew up in under hardships. We've all been reading the excerpts from the book on your Instagram. But now you've been Hollywood for a long time. So...
Number one, I'm not Hollywood in the slightest, okay? I want to be Hollywood. I want to be. I wish I could be one of those people, but I'm not. So shut the fuck up, number one. Secondly, do not diminish the excellent work that Rebecca Bisping does around this house. She gave up her life, Lou. She put her hopes and dreams on hold so that she could be the mother and the wife that she always wanted to be. And I commend her for that. So don't sit there and mock her achievements. Don't sit here and mock her ability to make coffee just how I like it, to present me with the remote control in the mornings. She knows I like my steak medium rare. She gets it perfect. Bang on. First time. No sending it back.
I agree with you, Mike.
What was your wife's dream when you met her? What was the big plan?
What was the dream? Oh, I don't know. I really don't know if she had a dream.
We have to edit this out. She can't listen to you. She can't listen to you say you don't even know. You didn't even listen to her when she said
her
fucking
dream. She doesn't have a dream, right? She's not the female Martin Luther King, okay? Dr. Martin Luther King. She wasn't, Michael, I have a dream, right? She didn't say that. She's like, should we go out? Should we go get some food? Should we go down the Edinburgh Bridge pub? That's where we used to hang out a lot, okay? She wasn't sitting there telling about hopes and dreams, okay? She's not a fucking one of these preachy assholes on Instagram. Right? And this is in 1999. There was no Instagrams. Early days, we were very young. We didn't know where we were going to go or what we were going to do, Lewis. All we knew, we were young, we were wild, we were reckless, and we were in love, baby boy. And that's all that matters. So fuck you, right? But I need my wife back because this bullshit's going to stop now. I am over it. I am tired and I'm overworked is what's going on, Lewis. I'm overworked.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, she'll be back soon enough, hopefully. What if she just left? What if she left? What if she never came back? You go to her Instagram right now and it's just deleted. Like, where's Rebecca? Her phone is just, you know, you try to call her, it's just disconnected. What would you do?
Yeah, I said this to Ellie recently. I don't know why I said this.
Why would you say that to her daughter?
No, because I've got no one else to talk to. I haven't been watching TV. I just sit at the kitchen counter with a bloody, what have once upon a time been a glass of wine, but I don't drink now. So I just sit there and look at my computer and like try and do things. But Ellie came down and we were chatting away and I'm like, you know, some women, not very often, it's usually the men. But, you know, but it's not unheard of for a woman to just say, you know what, screw this. I've had enough. I'm out. And just leave. I said, could you imagine if mum did that, Ellie? And she's like, she had a worried look in her eye. I'm like, no, it's fine. I don't think she's going to do that. You know, there is a possibility. Okay,
10% shot.
You know, you never know. It's a crazy world that we're living in. Maybe your mother's not going to come back. Lucas hears it from upstairs, starts crying, you know. But we did have that conversation, funnily enough.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think there's certain things like I'm not good at cleaning. Like I can't do it either. I have a cleaning lady that comes in once every 2 weeks because if it was up to me, the problem is I'd be the first two or three days. I'm really good. I keep ahead of it. And then by day three, day four, the dishes start piling up. By day five, it's over. Within a month, it would just be I'd be a hoarder.
I'll be honest. Right, listen, I'm joking. I need my wife back because I couldn't do this long term. I could not do this long term. And shout out to all the mothers out there that dedicate their lives to making, you know, the home a proper home, to make it just exactly what that says, a home. And it needs a woman's touch, in my opinion. Go ahead.
Do you? I mean, there's sort of like a thing in society that's against that, where I feel like, young women look down at that now, where they go like, oh yeah, you're. And I think that there is really, and we are fucking around here, but I think that there's like, isn't there something that's sort of like lost? Like, I don't know, like, why is it not good to have a girl or a guy, whatever? Like, I didn't even realize being a dad was like a goal, and like being a good dad was a goal until I had a kid. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, why is that such a bad thing to teach a young girl? Like, hey, if you have instincts and you really want to be a mom and that's something that you really want to do, it's like, go be a fucking great mom. Go create 10 great people that'll change the world. How is that not an extremely valuable... You know I'm Puerto Rican. I said 10.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, but you're absolutely right. In fact, Rebecca said that recently because, you know, these days, and listen, you know, the world is changing and ever changing. I wish, you know, we joke, we fuck around, but I wish men and women, they should get paid equally and all the best to them. But some women out there, like Rebecca, you just said before, what was her dream? She never had a dream. Her dream, pardon me, was just to, you know, have children. And be a mother. That's what she always wanted to do. And she's doing that. But she said just the other day, she said, now some women, they don't like to say that because it's seen as a sign of weakness or kind of pathetic or like not really wanting to aspire to anything. It's seen as a weak move, she said. And she's right, you know, but there's nothing wrong with that. You know, the world needs people like that. And as I said before, I feel like a home isn't a home. It's not a, I mean, you know, you need the woman's touch. You know, you need the flowers. You need the this. You need the woman about the house that's going to do things like that. You coming over here right now, you're not getting the same treatment as you would if Rebecca was here. That's what I'm saying. But yeah, she's away.
So that's it. And what
I'm killing it though. That's what I was going to say. So like, if you watched my Instagram story yesterday, here's what I'm doing, Lewis. I'm not only am I managing the house, my garage. If you went into my garage, much like most people's garages, should I say, if you go into the garage, you could hardly get in there. And yesterday, I wanted to hit the bag. I wanted to have a workout, but the bag is hanging there and it's just surrounded by shit. You can't get near the punch bag. You can't get anywhere. It's literally an obstacle course, crap everywhere. So I thought, right, got nothing to do. It's a nice Sunday day. I'm going to clean this goddamn garage out. So I opened the doors and I started pulling everything out. And then after a while, I'm like, oh my God, what have I started? There was shit all over the streets. All the kids thought it was like a yard sale, a jumble sale on there, all coming around like, piss off, get out of here. Go on, fuck off, play over there. And they kept coming back and picking things up. I'm like, what are you doing? Go away. There's an entire neighborhood to play. Do not put that down. What are you doing? Go on, fuck off. I'm going to tell your mom and dad in a minute. So, but I tell you what, that garage, not only could you work out in it, Lewis, you could eat your dinner off the floor. I'm telling you, I mopped it. It's clean. It's organized. I think I'm going to sleep in there tonight. I think I'm going to sleep in there. I'm proud of myself.
Does Rebecca know you cleaned out the garage?
Oh, of course. Come on. The moment she go, when she got out of bed, what have you done all day? I was like, well, you know, like, well, first of all, I did all the housework. I did it perfectly, but then I cleaned out the garage and I also walked the dogs, all that stuff. Anyway, people don't want to hear about my domestic goddess like or godlike abilities all day.
I have a question. Side note.
Yeah.
When I was traveling back from Buffalo the other day, am I being a baby about this? I saw a surgical mask sitting on a bench in the airport. And with the amount of people that are flying in from different countries now, I was like, okay, that's a little weird. It's a dirty surgical mask just sitting there. So I went and I told the guy who worked at the airline, I was like, hey, there's a dirty surgical mask there. I was like, you know, coronavirus, people are dying all over the world, you know, sort of an outbreak. I was like, I don't know, maybe someone should clean that up. So he was like, oh, cool. And I watched this guy not tell anybody. I watched him just process it, stand there, and nothing was done. Not like he didn't even make an attempt to pretend to tell anybody, and it just sat there. Should I have cleaned it up myself?
No. Well, number one, Lewis, there's nothing to. Why do you keep saying this expression, "clean it up"? Do you mean pick it up? Do you mean take the mask and put it in the trash can? Is that what you're saying? Is that what you are defining as clean up? There's no need for a mop, a vacuum cleaner, you know, maybe a good stiff yard brush. Give it a good scrubbing.
I need a hazmat suit. I need like one of those big giant hot power washers. Fuck that, dude. People are dying all over the world. Okay.
Yeah, they are.
We need Buffalo turning into fucking Wuhan. Come on, bro.
But people travel with those masks? And maybe somebody just left it there and went to the bathroom. Maybe that's why the guy never picked it up. He's like, listen, Mr. Neurotic Paranoid Asshole, there's not one confirmed case of the coronavirus in Buffalo. Buffalo takes that shit seriously. Don't come over here with your weird fucking glasses accusing us of substandard hygiene Wuhan coronavirus protocols. Okay, we don't like that baby.
I tweeted
boy.
It.
And he ignored you for a reason. I stand by that. Give that man a promotion.
I tagged the city of Buffalo. I was trying to get the Buffalo airport canceled. I was personally trying to get them to shut it down. That's crazy. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm overreacting. People are like, dude, it's just the flu. I was like, no, people are fucking dying in China right now. And I just feel like there should have, I do not, with there being an outbreak like that of some sort, even if it is just a flu, right? I feel like they should take a little bit of extra precaution, specifically at an airport.
Yeah, okay, I get that. But people do use them. They are a common item. In an airport, people, I don't know why. I mean, now it's okay with the coronavirus, I'll give you a pass. But I'll be honest, when I sit on a plane back in the day or a while ago, and anyone walks on with one of those masks on, I don't know why, I'm weird, but like it pisses me off.
Yes,
it pisses me off. I'm like, hey, what? You're not fit enough to breathe the air that I'm breathing. We're all breathing the same air, motherfucker. And guess what? That little thing over there, the tiny bacteria that's in the air, I think it's going to get through the little notch at the top and the thing at the bottom. Okay? I think it's going to get in there. So stop walking around like fucking Darth Vader. Stop pretending that your air quality or your body demands a better quality of air than I do. And take your mask off and sit down and shut the fuck up.
Can I tell you something?
Please.
Because I felt this way for a long time. And I would have that very strong reaction. I would have that very same exact reaction. I was like, you think you're better than me, motherfucker? You think you're not going to breathe my air, you piece of shit? Same exact reaction for years. And then
I'm like, take that fucking mask off now. What the fuck?
I was talking about this and I did a little research somehow. I don't know who told me this, but it turns out that in Asian countries, if it is a sign of politeness,
careful.
In Asian countries, it's a sign of politeness because if you're sick, you're supposed to wear a mask so you don't spread your germs. So those people are actually sick and they're trying to not spread their germs to you. So it's the opposite. And if you're sick and you don't wear a mask, it's considered very rude. In fact, like high school kids have like designer masks with fangs. So we're just being ignorant and accusatory because they couldn't be any more polite.
I'll tell you what right now. I've never done a bigger fucking U-turn in my life. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's the way it should be. From now on, anyone that's because I am sick of getting sick. Do you know what I mean? And anybody that is sick around me, if you haven't got on a coronavirus mask, okay, I'm going to punch you in the face. So what you're telling me is, Lewis, the reality is when I've been sitting there on a plane, maybe I've had a few beers the night before and I'm a little hungover and I'm grouchy and mad and a guy gets on, he's got his mask and I'm like, I'm looking for a fight. I'm in a bad mood. Me and Rebecca Bisping are arguing. She's still in Australia. I'm having a bad time. I'm like, and this prick with his fucking mask on thinks he's better than me, does he? So I go over there, I start on him, I give him shit, when in reality the guy is recovering from a very, very serious disease and doesn't want to pass it on to me. Man, you learn something every day.
You really do. I know. And it was just so funny, the difference. You're right. It's just a perfect U-turn. Because
that's what you should do from now on. If you're sick, wear a mask. Go full Darth Vader.
Yeah. Why don't we do this? There's a couple little things like, why don't we wear masks? A doctor also told me this, right? So he was like, you should wash, it was like STD test. And this is like a decade ago, right? Maybe. And he was like, you should wash your hands before you go to the bathroom and after. But before is even more important because you're shaking hands with people, you're touching things, you're doing all this stuff. And then you go and touch your dick and you put all these weird, you know, little cells from everywhere. And that's what he said. What he said was this, how HPV spread so fast. Was because people, these cells are everywhere. You shake hands with people all day long. You're just sort of sharing them, and then you put them on your genitals, and it reacts in a certain way. So I got into the habit of washing my hands before I go to the bathroom.
Yeah. Well, no. You know,
was that sentimental music?
After as well.
They put sentimental music.
Yeah, you gotta wash them after because that's the one. Like you go in the bathroom, a public restroom, you take a piss, you wash your hands, but then you've got to grab a door handle. Do you know what I mean? That every knobhead, every dirty person that hasn't washed their hands, they've all grabbed that. A lot of it, certainly in an airport, that handle is being grabbed. thousands and thousands of times a day. And some people don't have the best hygiene, you know, so I try not to avoid them. Sometimes I'll take a little piece of tissue and I grab it like that. My brother-in-law, he takes it to another level. He will stand in the bathroom. He will stand because his wife, my sister, Shireen told me, Oliver, sorry, Oliver, if I'm throwing you under a bus. I'm not throwing him under a bus. He's just very clean. He will stand in a public restroom and just wait for somebody to come in so he doesn't have to touch anything. That's a little extreme. But that's what he does. Oh, go on. What did you think?
I thought you were going to say he stood in the bathroom and pretended to wash his hands and then went out of the bathroom. That's what I would do when I was a teenager, when I was a kid, when my mom would make me wash my hands. I just pretend I would turn on the water. And then I literally, the amount of time I wasted turning on water, pretending to wash my hands so my mom would hear it and then turning it off, it was crazy.
Yeah, yeah. So like, I mean, I am a stickler for washing my hands in public restrooms and whatnot. But sometimes when I'm at home, if it's just a quick piss, I'm at home, I'm in my house. I don't always wash my hands. If I've got people over and I'm going to be handling food or anything like that. But sometimes I'll just go for a quick little piddle. You know what I mean? I'll nip out and Rebecca's like, you didn't wash your hands. And I'm like, babe. Come on, it's like, get back in there and wash your hands, you know, if I ever haven't done it. So anyway, where do you stand on that one, your hands at home?
As long as you have showered that day, your dick's not really going to be dirty. I mean, you have
a very clean person.
Yeah, but you have an uncircumcised dick, so your dick's all smegma-y. I get it. No, I understand. Mike's dick is covered in a slime like it was fucking, in a Ghostbusters movie.
Listen, what do you think I'm doing when I go for a pee? What do you think? I'm not peeling things back. I'm not masturbating in the bathroom. I'm just quickly, my forefinger and my thumb are holding the shaft. I'm directing it into the urinal. I'm ejecting the liquids. And then I'm going about my business. And if I'm in public, I'll give it a wash with soap and everything. You know what I mean? And then I go to the dryer. Oh, my hands feel nice. Maybe a little bit of lotion, a bit of moisturizer. There you go. And I go about my day. Not bothering anybody. Circumcised cock is none of your business. Leave it off the podcast. Do you have a circumcised penis?
I do, but my son has an uncircumcised penis.
No, this is the thing. Why does everybody... Here's another thing. Never mind surgical masks on planes. I'll take it to another level.
Surgical masks on dicks.
Surgical mask.
If your dick is uncircumcised, you have to wear a surgical mask on the head of it because nobody needs to see that weird dick.
No, I was going to say that's hilarious, by the way. I was going to say, like, people, you know, excuse me. Why is it, you know, all right, the surgical mask, they think they're better than us. But they've got to breathe better air. And anyone that has a circumcised penis, they think that their penis is better than, like, I've got some Jewish friends. That's all they talk about. They love to give me shit. You know, it's like, dude, you don't need to be circumcised. It's a total myth. It's ridiculous. It is. You do not need to be circumcised.
Did I ever tell you why I didn't get my son circumcised? As we're on it?
I think we had this conversation because you saw videos of them doing it, and it's. I'm assuming if they chop off part of your penis, it's excruciating. It's
fucking gruesome, dude. And I was just obsessed, and I was like, you know, my son's mother was like, "Fine, I'll let you," because she was like, "No, I don't want to do it. It's barbaric." And I was like, I just was very pigheaded and ignorant, and I was like, "My son's going to look like me." And she was sending me videos, and it was like really hard to watch. And then he was born at like 2:30 in the morning.
Got to be careful. If you're going to tell me in a second that you have been Googling baby penises, all right, just you know, think about that before you say it live on air. You have not been looking up baby penises being mutilated, or have you? What have you been doing, Lewis? Who are you?
I was one of Jeffrey Epstein's passengers. I'll admit it on the list. Right? Look, I was on the list. And... she sent me videos of like just to show you. It's on YouTube, by the way. By the way, you can get anything on YouTube as long as you pretend it's science. So when he was born at like 2:30 in the morning, and they were going to wait till the morning to do it. They were going to wait till like the next day because she had been in labor for like 30 hours and the baby was stressed and she was stressed. And then the next day, by the time I held him that night, I was like, there's no way somebody's taking a fucking blade to my kid. It was, there was a weird instinct of like, I had to protect him. I never held a baby before. And it was like, I was holding this little boy and the idea that anybody was going to, you know, hurt him in any way. If they would have taken me from right there, if they would have just taken him right there, I probably would have just been like, all right, do it. But they let me bond with him. Like 2 minutes later, I was like, there's no way anyone's going to hurt this kid. So, and I'm so glad I didn't do it. Sure, his dick looks weird now. And every time he touches it, his fingers are covered in some sort of weird slime. But you know what? Nobody's going to hurt my baby.
Say to that, I've got nothing to say. What I was gonna say, wow, Jesus Christ, I keep losing my mind. Callum, when Callum was born, he was 9 weeks premature, so he was super early, and it was a really worrying time, obviously. But as I say, he was 4 pounds 8, absolutely tiny, and I could fit him in my hand. I remember we went carpet shopping when we first got him out of the hospital, and I was walking around with him just in my hand, and everyone was like, what are you doing? I'm like, don't worry, I got this. But could you imagine? Everyone was freaking out because I was just walking around eating a sandwich in one hand with a premature baby in the other hand.
You almost ate your baby. You're like, whoa.
While in a dirty carpet factory, I got this new baby that's barely alive. Could you imagine how tiny his penis would have been if we had to chop it off at that time? 4 pounds 8, I reckon if you do the math, 2 millimeter penis. Yeah. 2 millimeter Callum, he's known. He's known he's got a tiny penis. That's why we left the extra, you know, a couple of centimeters on, or half a centimeter.
Literally, his friends are listening to this in his dorm right now, and they all just laughed in his face. And now,
Now,
first of all, Callum,
I shouldn't say this, but this kind of goes into it. And I'm sorry, son. His nickname at college is Condom.
Condom?
Callum, Condom, kind of sounds like it. And I'm so juvenile, when he told it me when we were in Vegas recently, I laughed for like 20 minutes straight. They're like, hey, Condom, come here, Condom. That's literally what they call him. Callum, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that, but I thought it was funny.
So first of all, it's funny. I didn't know that Callum was a premature baby. I had no idea, which is probably pretty scary in general, but he's fucking huge. He's a beast. Now, usually when you hear about premature babies, they're like undersized. So it's interesting that ended up getting sick. He's like 6'3", had 6'2". He's a really tall kid.
No, he's 6'2" right now, 6'2". And he is ripped, man. Whatever they're doing at college, the training regimen he's on, they're killing it. Because I'm telling you, he takes his shirt off. I'm like, put your shirt back on, buddy. Who do you think you are walking around here with your six-pack and your ripped torso? No, cover that up.
All right, Mike, real quick, let's take a quick second and talk about one of our incredible sponsors, which is Blue Chew. I love Blue Chew. Okay, I'm on the road a lot now. Single life, you know, sometimes chick not even that attracted to her. What am I gonna do? Am I gonna go in there and I'm gonna really, you know, you need to still be able to perform. People are on YouTube, people are on Twitter, they're gonna be spreading rumors about me. I wanna make sure that I'm giving them the absolute best sexual experience. So Blue Chew is where I go.
Well, you know, I mean, you're a smart man, because you know it combines the same ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but it's just way cheaper. And you know, I know you're on the road a lot, so you haven't got time to go to the doctor. Fortunately, with Blue Chew, as you know, you don't need to go to a doctor. Also, no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Why is that, I hear you all asking? Because they will deliver it to your door in discreet packaging. So whilst you go out there and you know, it's kind of desperate behavior. You're going to pull some chick that you're not attracted to. You're going to have some cheap, lousy sex. Well, no, you're going to have some cheap sex. It's kind of lousy in one frame of mind. But from the other frame of mind, it's going to be amazing, because that girl that you never want to see again, you're going to blow her mind. In fact, what you're going to do is you're going to get yourself a stalker, Lewis, okay? Because your sexual performance is through the roof right now. Calm down, baby boy.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you right now, it's not only just a new chick that maybe you're not attracted to. Maybe you've been married to your wife for 20 years like Mr. Michael Bisping. Maybe there's just not the same spark in the bedroom. Look, Bisping, you and your wife are basically Instagram models. Not everyone is as gorgeous as you, okay? So sometimes you need a little bit of extra pep in your step in the bedroom, and Blue Chew has it. I'm going to tell you right now, you were saying before, you don't have to go to the doctor. It's all done online. It takes a few minutes to fill it out. In a few minutes, you have Blue Chew coming to your door, which is pretty damn incredible. The best part of all of this is we're going to give you a free trial. Listeners of this show, if you want to try this out, if you want a performance enhancement drug for the bedroom, go to bluechew.com. That is bluechew.com and use the promo code BELIEVE. Use that promo code BELIEVE. You get a free trial of Blue Chew. All you got to do is pay $5 shipping, and it's going to change your entire sexual life. I promise you. Bluechew.com. Use that promo code BELIEVE.
Anyway, what do we want to talk about? Because there's a lot going on. Obviously, we got UFC 247, is it? I think it's 247. On Saturday, John Jones taking on Dominic Reyes. On Wednesday's show, we're going to break down John Jones. We're going to go through his entire career, his ups and downs. Well, fight-wise, it's been all ups, but outside the ring, not so much. But we're going to really, you know, delve into John Jones and break down that fight and give some predictions and whatnot. We'll go through the rest of the card later in this show, but as usual in the world of mixed martial arts, there's plenty of scandalous gossip and stuff to talk about. I'll tell you where I do want to start real quick. Kevin Ioli from Yahoo Sports, one of the best boxing journalists alive. Saturday night, or was it Saturday? I think it might have been Saturday night. Anyway, he posted this thing on Twitter. And it's Gervonta Davis, who's part of Floyd Mayweather's team. And he's at a basketball match in Las Vegas. And he just grabs his girlfriend by the throat.
Yeah, pull it up.
Rips her out of the chair. Here, look at this. For the audio guys, he just ripped her out of the chair. He's still by the throat. And he's walking her out the arena, which looks to be two security guards with him. Well, two bodyguards, should I say. By the way, I don't think Gervonta Davis is there needing two bodyguards just yet, because they come over and they're not stopping him. They're not stopping him from grabbing his wife. They're just looking after him. I don't know. What do you think of this, Lewis? It's fucking shocking.
Yeah, it is shocking. And what Ioli tweeted, maybe somebody else did, but he was like, imagine what he does when he's not in public. I mean, this is cameras around. He's very famous. I mean, there's obviously a problem there. You know, I would assume that he's, you know, and we don't know, but I'm assuming that he's pretty physically abusive. So the problem in that situation is, you know, people are always like, why don't people step in and say something? That guy and his bodyguards will fucking murder you. I mean, you jump in that moment. He's passionate. He's angry. You know, so people are videotaping it. And I saw people being critical of people videotaping and not saying anything, but in that moment, I'm almost like, what do you do? It was also, he got her out of there very, very fast.
I'd have said something.
100%. Well, you're a professional fucking fighter. Yes, you'll say something. But
okay. Back in time, story time with Bisping, real quick. I used to go to this nightclub called The Empire. 1995, 16 years old. You'll like this one. 16 years old, me, my two brothers, Conrad and Steven, Baz Scott and Pete Aspinall, we're all in the car. Right, we're parked outside the nightclub. We're waiting for the doors to open like fucking cheesy young ravers. We used to get there right at the start and go dancing shit. And anyway, we're sitting there. We're parked in the car. There may have been some weed floating around in the car. And then we look to the right and there's a homeless woman, right? And she's begging for change and whatnot. And then there's these guys. I think it was a Burger King or something like that. They're outside the Burger King. She's begging for money. And then this fucking guy thinks it's hilarious. Bang. Punches her right in the face. A homeless lady, she's on the floor, right? And she's trying to get up and he kicks her. She's getting up and she's trying to get up and she's begging. She's, please, please don't stop. And all this type of stuff. And we were all sitting there in the car and we're watching it. And we're like, what the fuck? And Stephen and Carmen just said to each other, should we go kick the fuck out of him? And boom. And we all jump out of the car and we walk over. Oi, dickhead. Right? And Carmen just goes, bang, punches him in the face. And anyway, it turns out, in the Burger King, there's about another 20 people that we're all together with. Yeah, so anyway, this fucking huge gang of people, they all come out and we're standing there. There's five of us and there's about 20 of them now and they're all standing there and they're like, what the fuck's going on? And Peter Aspinall, who was with us, that couldn't fight his way out of a wet paper bag, but he's got the mouth on him. He had like a gigantic Sprite, you know what I mean, that you get?
Yeah.
And they're all standing there and nobody knew what was going on because they didn't know that he'd just beaten up a homeless woman, right? And they didn't know he'd been punched or whatever, but they're like, what the fuck's going on? And Pete Aspinall breaks his eyes by just going, and throwing the Sprite, and he just like throws it like that, and it just goes over everybody, right? But he had to be there. It was fucking, talk about a way to break the silence. And they're like, what the fuck? And we all start having this big argument. And then somehow, Conrad and Steven volunteer me as the one to represent our gang to go, well, not a gang, our group, to go up against their guy. I'm like, what the fuck? This was your idea to get out of the car, but all of a sudden they're pushing me forward. So
who was their guy?
I don't know, some fucking weirdo that got his ass kicked, I'll tell you that. But then, like, it just developed into a huge fucking brawl. It was crazy. This is on the boardwalk in Morecambe, Lancashire. But good time. So yes, Lewis, I would have said something because... Yeah. You know, a man hitting a woman in this day and age, and we're joking, we're being silly, but that to me, that gets me every time. It pisses me off, and I can't sit there, you know. So
I'll tell you a quick story.
Behavior, go ahead.
It is disgusting. And so one time I was promoting Street Teams, 34th Street, New York City, promoting for comedy clubs, and I saw a guy and a girl argue, a big black guy and maybe even a bigger black girl. It's a big woman. So, but he's getting like a really aggressive with her. You know, and he grabs, I guess he grabs a girl's arm, and he's almost actually doing what that guy did to her, like trying to like pull her away. And me and another guy are there. We're on the corner, and we're, you know, we're bigger guys, so we're sort of seeing this.
Oh, you're huge.
I'm fucking, bro. Fucking Michael Hearn workout, shoulders and fucking biceps today, bro. It's fucking happening. Ooh, daddy. It's about to happen, Bisping.
Yeah, but hold on. I know we're going off on the, interrupting the story. Your arms are looking big, but I feel like there's a lot of fat there, okay?
Yeah.
Just throwing it out there. I gotta
burn some fat. That's fine, Michael Bisping. First of all, you know, it's not who looks better at the end of this. It is whose before and after looks better. Who has a more impressive before and after? You're dead. Right now already. Already my fucking before and after. You're going to have to be a fucking physician to see the difference between your body, okay? Who gives a shit?
Okay, listen, let's get back to, listen, you're about to tell a story. You're a hero. There was a big black guy, an even bigger black woman. Nobody was interested. Nobody would help this person out.
Nope.
She was in a perilous situation. She could have been murdered. But Luis J. Gomez, minding his business, he's just at work, but he's like, no, I've got to step up and save this woman. Tell us about your heroic feat.
So me and this other guy were like, yo, chill, chill, chill. And then the guy gets out of an attitude. The guy's like, yo, mind your fucking business. And then the fucking girl goes, yeah, mind your motherfucking business. Officer, 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 they're harassing us. And she got a cop to come over to us. And I'm like, oh, yeah, but I was like, no, officer, he was grabbing her. And he was like, listen to me, you need to get off this block right now. It's the cop. And I was like,
Oh my God.
I'm like, yeah, but no, it was a whole. He's like, no, you say one more word, I'm going to give you a ticket for disorderly conduct. And I was like, but. And he fucking pulls out his pad and he wrote me a ticket as the fucking couple laugh in my face.
Listen. As they always say, there's two sides to every story. So Lewis's version, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, Lewis's version is that he's there, he's working, and he was a hero. We saw a woman being accosted and decided to help out, and then the cop came over and gave you a ticket. That's your version. I guarantee there's a very, very different story. Bear it in mind, I know you, Lewis. I follow you on Twitter. I see you arguing with everybody. I know the type of person you are. Their side of it, I guarantee you were harassing them, and this is your lame excuses at a cover-up.
Got me.
No, but you know what I mean? There's always two sides to every story. I would love to hear their version of events.
No, it was crazy. It was fucking crazy. And by the way, that's happened probably multiple times where you try to like step in and say something and then the girl's like, yeah. I mean, that happened another time. It happened with me and my son downtown in Little Italy. Like an Italian guy started to like just give the strong arm to his girl, like just putting his thumb into her fucking bicep. Like that's the move they do. And I was with Dave Smith and my son, and I was like, Dave, take James up the road, because my son was like maybe three, you know. And I went and said something because I'm not a hero, okay? But the reality is, too many people sit back and they're complacent and they watch it happen. You know, the difference is, as we're telling these stories, I do understand why a person does not do that with a professional boxer and his two bodyguards, you know.
Listen, of course I understand that. There's a professional fighter with two bodyguards. And not just that, it doesn't matter who it was. Sometimes, you know, unfortunately, the world is crazy these days. I saw on the news this morning, a bus leaving Los Angeles, I think it was going to San Francisco, a guy on a bus pulled a gun out and just started shooting people. Shot six people on a bus this morning. Jesus. Unfortunately, one died. I think the rest are going to be okay. So people don't want to get involved, you know what I mean? Because they don't know what's going to happen. And as you say, a guy there that's doing that, he's probably, you know, he's probably not the safest of people. But still, I just have a physical reaction. If I see something like that, I can't stand by. I cannot stand by. And it's not because I want to get involved in anything like that. It's because I literally can't stand there and see a woman getting beaten up of a guy. I couldn't do it. And I think you'd be okay in a crowded room like that, a very, very busy place. I don't think you're going to get any, you know, you're not going to get punched in the face for trying to say, hey, you know, unhand that woman immediately.
If he's that angry in that moment, he's choke slamming his fucking girlfriend in the middle of a basketball game. He's ready to go. That guy, if you just touch him on the shoulder, he's going to fucking drill you in the mouth. It's going to be a problem.
But this is what's wrong with the fucking world.
Yeah.
Bunch of fucking pussies. I'm going to say it right now. Stand there. They've all got phones. They're like, oh, nothing to do with me. I'm just going to look at my phone and pretend I can't see it. Oh, I got an email. Oh, I'm just on the phone. No, there's a woman being physically assaulted over there. Step up. That is what, listen, this world that we're getting into these days is ridiculous. Everyone's soft. No one's willing to give an opinion. Everyone's overly polite. Listen, manners are fantastic, but sometimes speak your mind, say what's on your mind, and don't stand by and watch a woman getting assaulted. Everyone's a winner these days. Everyone's going to have their point and have their point taken considerately and listened to. There's a fucking prize for everything. Do you know what I mean? The world is going soft, and there's a man at a basketball game in Las Vegas, a professional fighter, grabbing his woman by the throat, and no one did a fucking thing. Shame on every single person in that arena. Shame on them right now, okay? I don't know what game it was. I'm boycotting that arena. I'm sorry. I got to do it. I will never, ever go to that high school basketball game ever again.
Michael, it's so easy for you to talk when you got fucking, you're a psycho.
No, maybe borderline. But here's the thing. You don't stand by and watch that happen to a woman.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Of course.
The way I was raised, the way that my values are, you don't do that. And you don't have to be a tough guy. You can just say something.
Yeah.
Say something.
Stand or at the very least, you could fucking call the cops. You have a phone in your hand and stop videotaping, you idiot. Get help.
I'm saying call security or at least go, hey, from the other side of the arena. From, you know, he would have to cross a fucking basketball court. You know what I mean? To get at you. Just shout, heckle him at least. Do something.
Yeah. I mean, that's, it would be, you know, that would be a tough situation to be in. But that check, I mean, you know, look, you know, it really makes us all want to ask the question.
Hey,
what did she do?
I mean, what did she do? I mean, what did she say? I mean, by all accounts, Javonte, and by the way, listen, we're joking, but Javonte Davis, I mean, his public demeanor that I've seen, he seems like a very stable guy. I mean, what did she say?
Harrington, is there any more update on this? Did he get into any trouble? What's going on with this shit? It's his baby's mama, I know. American professional boxer, blah, blah, blah.
So the only updates that I have are what he talked about on his Instagram story. And I think it was the Miami Herald reported that no charges have been filed in Coral Gables where the incident happened. So if she is pressing charges, she has not yet.
Do we know who the chick was? It says with woman in all these stories.
So he said, I never once hit her. He wrote on a story. Well, yeah, I was aggressive and told her to come on. That's the mother of my child. I would never hurt her other than that.
Yeah, well, I mean, of course, that's damage control from his side. Unacceptable behavior. Absolutely unacceptable behavior. And I think in the UFC, we have a code of conduct. And, you know, if you go outside of that code of conduct, there is, you know, repercussions.
You know,
you will have to pay the price in some way, shape, or form, albeit maybe it's a suspension, a fine, whatever it is. I'm not sure in boxing the way it's operated that there will be any kind of comeuppance for him.
It's a Mayweather guy. He probably got a performance of the night bonus.
Oh, dude.
What?
I like it. It's good.
Did Mayweather get in trouble for some shit?
Yes, he did. Exactly. Are we making light of domestic abuse right now?
Okay. I make light of everything.
I know. Listen. Kobe Bryant died last week.
We make fun of his fucking... Wait, what about Ari Shaffir's dick?
I said, no, Kobe Bryant very, very sadly and tragically passed away last week, and Ari Shaffir is making tasteless jokes, and you're defending him till the cows come home, you know? So, yeah, we know you joke about everything. It's fair game. But domestic abuse is where I draw the line, Lewis. And why is it every time we try and have a serious conversation and it just sounds like we're being sarcastic pricks? Because I am actually serious in what I say here.
Well, that's the thing. The problem when you do these podcasts is podcasts.
Oh, very posh.
The problem when you do these podcasts as well is there's this nuance, right? So you have this conversation and we are having a real conversation and we say, all right, well, look, there's something there. It's like, well, there's a boxer. He's got two bodyguards. We sort of have this real conversation. But then in this moment, because we're both trying to be funny and entertaining, we'll make a sarcastic or a funny comment. And it's sort of like, where does the reality start? Where does the joke end? So this is sort of where do you get into a little bit of trouble. But no, I think it's very obvious. I don't think people would listen to this podcast if they thought that we were pieces of shit that wouldn't defend a woman or didn't think that it was wrong for a man to hit a woman. But I also think that, you know, there's, I don't know, you can make fun of that.
Well, Lewis, you did allude to the fact that you wouldn't have done anything. You did say that.
Not with Devontae Davis. I would not have tried to fight Devontae Davis. I would have possibly...
Nobody's saying you had to fight him. All you had to do was help the damsel in distress, okay? You had to be the knight in shining armor. Give me another one. Damsel in distress, knight in shining armor. You had to be the...
She doesn't want my help. She's married. She got this guy's baby. She's fine.
All you had to do was say, excuse me. I don't quite agree with how you're engaging with your lady there. Would you mind taking your hand off her throat? Okay. Listen, it's fucking shocking, and I hope the guy gets what's coming to him. I really do. Listen, I don't give a fuck what he says. I hope some guy walks up and grabs him by the throat that's fucking twice and three times the size and a way better boxer, okay, because there's heavyweights out there. Let's say fucking Deontay Wilder walks up and grabs him by the throat. See how he'd fucking like it, feeling so helpless and powerful. It's bullshit, man. It's bullying tactics. Control your temper, get your shit together, and take a long, hard fucking look in the mirror.
Yeah, there especially if that's the mother of your fucking children. Especially. That's even worse. Right. That's even worse.
That kid's going to grow up one day. Listen, you know, I don't want to throw my family under the bus, but I saw a lot of this shit when I was a kid. Do you know what I mean? And I don't fucking like it. I don't like it at all. And that kid, as you said, the mother of, that child is going to see this maybe one day. You know what I mean? That stuff stays on the internet, on YouTube. It'll be around forever.
Oh, for sure.
Unless it gets taken down. But,
Yeah,
unless it was, unless it's made by beige frequency, then it might get taken down. But other than that, it's going to be around for a long, long time.
Wow, Michael Bisping coming out with the fucking troll fire.
Anywho. So yeah, I mean, listen, boxers by nature are wild animals. They really are. So mixed martial artists. We were going to do a whole thing, breaking them down, some of those scandalous moments in boxing versus scandalous moments in mixed martial arts. But we got a lot to talk about. Maybe we'll save that debate for another day.
Yeah. Well, think of one real quick. What's the biggest one you could remember in boxing?
Well, I looked up a few. I did a bit of research, believe it or not. You know, I did some research. And this one kind of took the cake. This is Carlos Monzon kills his wife by throwing her off a balcony. You know, so he's like, I'll see your grabbing of a throat and escorting out of a basketball game. And this is on Bleacher Report.
We don't know that he wasn't on his way to a balcony with her.
Yeah, it could have been. I mean, where was he staying? What hotel was he at? What floor was he on? I mean, this guy that I'm about to talk to, he only threw her off a second-story balcony. I mean, if you're talking like a Vegas casino, I mean, that's chump change. You got to up those numbers, buddy.
That's
numbers. Two balconies. She would have fucking done a side break fall, landed, and she would have been fine. No big deal. No drama.
If you throw someone, not just a woman, because this is not about being sexist. Throw anyone.
Hey. I don't see gender. I don't see gender. If you throw a human being,
You throw anybody off a second floor balcony, you're not trying to kill them. You're trying to teach them a lesson.
That's what I said to Lucas yesterday. We were out and about. He was pissing me off. And he's like, why'd you throw me off the balcony? I said, I had to teach you a very valuable lesson. No. So in my very, very short Google I did, I came across this story on Bleacher Report. So there you go. I'll give you one quickly. Carlos Monzon was arguably the greatest Argentinian boxer of all time and the greatest middleweight of all time. In 1977, Monzon retired and managed to keep out of the papers. His previous violent relationships that at least resulted in him being shot in the leg by one ex-wife became the stuff that the paparazzi ate up. But in 1988, Monzon entered the mainstream press again. This time, he not only beat up his wife, Alicia Munoz, he picked her up by her neck and threw her off a second-floor balcony apartment. Monzon was convicted of homicide and sentenced to 11 years. Monzon was allowed to visit his family in 1988 for a weekend simply to die in a car crash on the way back to prison.
Whoa.
That guy's a fucking nightmare. He's a mess. He can't even make it back from day visit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's brutal. I'm trying to think of anything that I didn't do any Google research. I thought we were just going to do it off the dome piece. I mean, what
Mike
would be
Tyson,
the biting
Mike,
the ear?
Biting the ear, that's a good one. I mean, that's pretty good.
I don't even know. What did Mayweather do? Didn't Mayweather like kidnap somebody or something?
I don't know. Everything I'm thinking of boxing scandals, my mind just goes to what's his face? Mike Tyson every time. Because remember the press conferences he had with Lennox Lewis? I don't know if you saw that. And they got into an argy-bargy on stage. And next minute, Mike Tyson's biting the ankles of Lennox Lewis. He likes to bite. I'm the biggest fan of Mike Tyson ever, but he has a biting problem, or a fetish, should I say.
I was watching recently. Yeah. Somebody was posting, like, just tweeting just videos of Mike Tyson punching. Not even him boxing, like, just him, like, hitting pads. I mean, he looks so vicious. Even him shadow boxing. If you could pull up a video of Mike Tyson shadow boxing, it looks psychotic. I mean, I don't know shit about fighting and about striking, but when you see something like that as a fighter, when you see Mike Tyson box, I mean, it is, he does move differently than everybody else.
It's beautiful. It is beautiful to watch. I mean, even now that I'm retired, I still find myself now and again. I mean, look at him here. I mean, the movement on this guy, the speed and the power and the technique of every punch. I mean, Gustav Mahdar, his trainer, just you could just tell, just absolutely obsessed with making him the best fighter on the planet. And the proof is in the pudding. I see some of these old training footages, and just unreal. The speed and the ferocity of the punches. I mean, that man was built for it. And he had the mentality as well. I mean, he went through a lot. Was it the Bronx he grew up in? Or Brooklyn?
I think it was Brooklyn, I believe. Yeah. But the Brooklyn, yeah. Brooklyn in the 70s, 80s. I mean, so brutal. And also, isn't there like
character.
Recently they he still will like shadow box, and he's still like the way he moves still to this day. Like he just does not lose. Is this recently? Let's see here.
Yeah. No, I saw this. This was recently. Let's here see. He is. This is at Tyson Ranch. He grows weed now and sells weed. Isn't that weird? He's a glorified drug dealer. Boom, boom. There he is on the angle. Boom, boom. He's still got it. Still got it. You know what I mean? I mean, Mike Tyson, he's pushing on in the years now, I guess, these days. But you would not want to take one on the chin off Mike Tyson. I mean, we know that. That sounds like such a stupid sentence. But, I mean, at his age, he's still got it. They said the last thing to go is the power. Ooh, you don't want to take one off Mike Tyson, let me tell you.
Yeah. Yeah, very cool. Very cool. I want to smoke some Mike Tyson weed. We got to go. We got to go get Mike Tyson on our podcast. We're going to do the Mike Tyson podcast.
Yeah, I'm down for it. Let's do it.
Hey, Mike, let's take a quick second and talk about Keeps, which is a really great company. I love having Keeps on the show. I wish we had Keeps. I wish we had the show 10 years ago and we had Keeps on the show 10 years ago, because if that was the case, I would still have hair. And I don't know if you knew this, but 2 out of 3 guys are going to experience some sort of male pattern baldness by the time they're 35 years old. And the good news is, with today's advancements in science, Keeps offers proven treatments that can combat the symptoms of hair loss while you keep the hair that you have at half of the cost of your local pharmacy. Okay, you don't have to go broke. Yeah. This is similar. We have other sponsors on the show. It's the same thing. You fill it all out online. You don't have to go to the doctor. They send it to your house. You have the right treatment. It's a really, really amazing company. And I know you love. Listen, you think it's all natural? You think Michael Bisping is sitting there with a full natural head of hair?
Hey, listen. Yeah, here's the thing. I mean, it's the perfect name because I do want to keep my hair, so I have been using it, and I do feel like it's thicker than ever. But here's the thing. If you got a head of hair, unfortunately, as we know, the ship has sailed for yourself, but you don't want to lose it. You don't want that bald patch developing at the back of your hair. You don't want your friends taking the piss, saying, oh, you're going bald. And then eventually you don't want to be, no disrespect, Lewis, because you've embraced the bald look. But if you want to, you want to be able to have the choice. I'm not disrespecting bald people. It's a solid look. If you're, you know, if you're looking to be like, I don't know, maybe a pedophile or some like kind of nerd, or like if you had broken legs, you want to look like a Professor Xavier from the X-Men, that's okay. But on a day-to-day, generally, certainly in winter, you want to have hair and you want to keep hold of your hair. That's why Keeps is so good. And as you said, no going to the doctor, all the rest of it. It's got tons of 5-star reviews. What else we got, Lewis?
Yeah, it's really cheap. They have treatments that start at just $10 a month, which is pretty damn incredible. And they have more 5-star reviews than any of their competitors. And nearly 100,000 men have been trusting Keeps to keep their hair. This is pretty, you don't have to listen to us. Do your research. See what other people are saying about it. We're supposed to say it's good, but the other people don't have to say anything about it. This is a real deal company that's super accredited. Here's the coolest part of all. Okay, if you guys right now go to keeps.com/believe, KEEPS.com/believe, you're going to get your first month treatment for free. You heard that? Free.
Hey, listen, What more do you want? You're going to hang on to your hair. You're going to probably keep your wife, maybe get that promotion at work. You know, at least keep the job, okay? Keep your hair, keep the job, keep your wife. Okay, there you go. What's the promo code again one more time?
Once again, that is keeps.com, KEEPS.com/believe. Go there right now. Get that first month for free, baby boy. And yeah, you're going to love it. It's going to change your life. All right, where were we?
I tell you what, talking of fighters maybe getting a little argy-bargy and maybe having a little confrontation and maybe two sides to every story, like I was saying to you before, Kamaru Usman and our good friend Jorge Masvidal getting into it at the weekend. Did you see the footage there?
I didn't see, but I heard that they had a back and forth at the Super Bowl, right? Where in the
That's right. I think they were at a Super Bowl function of some description, and I don't know, they kind of crossed paths and just started shouting at one another.
Yeah.
Is so, the video here?
It's Radio.
Give us some background, Mike.
It's Radio Row in Miami, where all of the major news publications come down to Miami for Super Bowl week, and they got everyone together. Apparently, these two were scheduled for like similar, you know, interviews at similar times, and they ended up running into each other, on the way through press row.
Conspiracy theory. They listen. If you put them in the same room, right, and one of the guys there, the black gentleman, he works for the UFC. He's one of the PR guys. Dave, oh man. Anyway, I forget his name. So maybe this was scheduled by the UFC. You know, maybe they know what they were doing, because now Dana accidentally mentioned that the fight's going to be happening in International Fight Week later this year in the summer. So I mean, that's a fantastic fight, and it's a logical matchup anyway, so I don't really think you let anything out of the bag there. But
didn't Leon Edwards
schedule them to both be giving interviews in the same place at the same time with tons of media around? I mean, if you're gonna do it, that's a smart setup. Get them to have a fight when there's nothing but media around everywhere for the Super Bowl. I mean, holy shit. I mean, that's great promotion for a fight.
So, yeah, because Leon Edwards called it pro wrestling, I believe. I don't know what the exact quote was, but you agree. You think this is sort of like, I mean, at the very least, they're leaning into the role. They see that opportunity. They know they're going to fight. They're like, all right, well, let's create some moments. There's a lot of cameras here.
No, that's not what I was saying. I wasn't saying that that was scripted. What I mean is, you know what I mean? If I was the UFC and I'm handling media obligations for them both, if you put them both in the same place at the same time, you know what's going to happen. They don't like each other, certainly with Masvidal. Masvidal's the genuine deal. He really is. You know, he had it with me. He had it with Leon Edwards, cracked him three times in the face. You know, Masvidal doesn't take shit. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying it was orchestrated from their perspective, but who knows? If I'm a clever PR guy and I'm trying to build some hype for a fight, this is what I'm going to do. Send them to the Super Bowl media week, give them interviews, and make sure they cross paths. There you go. You know they're going to get into shit. I mean, that's up there with their, I mean, not in terms of scale. Sorry, pardon me. I know you want to say something. That's up there with, like, you know, the Connor thing on the bus, throwing the dolly and everything. That's great media. It's great headlines. People love that shit. They lap it up.
Yeah, this is the quote from Leon Edwards. He said, was it planned? Why are the cameras following him all day, all the way to Usman? It's basically planned because they're walking for like a minute with a camera behind him. That's the game we're in right now, right? It's the social media era and the WWE era. That's the way the game is leading at the moment. It is what it is. I'm just focused on my own career and doing what I need to do and being able to do what I need to achieve, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so yeah, I mean, he's saying... I don't know if he's necessarily even disagreeing with you. I don't know if he's blaming those guys on it. But I think you've said this in the past as well. It's like, I think that, you know, look, especially when you're at the highest level, cameras are following you. You have social media now. There's opportunities to create moments regularly. And the guys that are going to continue to grow, I mean, not only you have to win. That's neither here nor there. You have to be a great fighter. You're a UFC fighter. But it's also sort of creating those moments. And how often are the podcasts talking about you? How often are people tweeting about you? How often are you fucking trending? How often are you a part of, you know, events that people are constantly talking about? And it's not a coincidence that the guys that are doing the best and making the most money in the sport are the people that are creating those moments. And Masvidal seems to, you know, this past year or two, he's just both in the ring and out of the ring, creating moments left and right.
Yeah, and you are right. Creating moments is one thing. You know, it certainly helps build your brand. I mean, look at a guy like Rory McDonald. There's a guy that, you know, has all the fine talent in the world and the skill and all the rest of it, but not very, he doesn't come across too well on the microphone. You know, he's not a best salesman, if we will. But it's not just about that, because I remember back in the day somebody saying to me once, like, oh yeah, you know, you just got that mouth, haven't you, so you can mouth off and get people interested in a fight. And I was like, well, hold on, I said, I'm pretty good when I fucking step in there as well. So it's not only about having the mouth, having the confidence and the bravado to act like this in public and to talk about that. You got to be able to back it up inside the octagon. And then when you back it up inside the octagon, then the words have more weight to it, because it's like, whoa, this guy's the real deal and he's talking shit. Now, of course, you know, Masvidal, as I said before, he's that guy. He'll throw down, whether it's in an octagon or in a phone booth. He's not bothered where it is. You know, he's the real deal. He's a fighter's fighter. And Kamaru's the same way. I mean, and they've got beef, you know. So, I mean, Dana's already announced a fight kind of in International Fight Week. So that means that Conor, Masvidal, that's off the table. I think it's a great fight. I think it's awesome, and I'm very, very much looking forward to it.
And it does sort of it sort of points to you being possibly right about the Conor versus Nate Diaz 3 matchup. Even though I guess Dana White said Conor is going to fight the winner of Khabib versus Tony. So I don't know. We'll see.
Did he say that? He came out publicly and said that, because he said that to me, but not to a journalist.
Okay, I want to make sure I'm not wrong, but he did say that, right? Yeah, he did. It seems like I mean, we'll see what happens, but I don't know. I mean, maybe Conor just wants to wait for that title.
Yeah, well, maybe. Not a bad idea, but he said he wants to fight regularly. Listen, if I'm Conor, I'd pick off Nate Diaz. Why not? It's going to be a big fight. They are 1-1. You know what I mean? So a rubber match does make sense.
And for Nate, by the way, that's the fastest way back to redemption. The fastest way back to coming. You beat Conor, that erases everything else right there and then.
Hey. Yeah, and it's not like Nate Diaz can't do it, because he did do it one time on short notice. So it's not, you know, it's not a gimme fight. It's not an easy fight. I'd favor Conor, for sure I would. But, you know, Diaz got him the first time. He could get him the third time. And a massive payday for Nate Diaz as well. So I'm still leaning towards that being the matchup. But what else is going on in the notes? Because my phone's being weird.
Not a problem.
Just a little bit of cleanup. Dana did say probably to Jim Rome when asked. Probably the winner of Tony versus Khabib. So okay. It's not set in stone.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I'm looking here. I got the notes. And thank you, Harrington. Yeah. According to Ali Abdelaziz. In fact, Harrington, break this one down for us as well. What's Abdel, our good friend Ali, saying these days?
So Ali came out and he said that Saudi Arabia wants to be the home for Khabib for the next big super fight. He said that they are willing to pay upwards of $100 million for Khabib to fight Conor for their second fight, or Khabib versus Floyd Mayweather in Saudi Arabia.
Wow, that's crazy.
100 million just to the UFC for the rights to have it there on their soil. What I mean, what's the reason? I don't really understand how valuable it is.
Well, they're trying to change the public's perspective of Saudi Arabia. They're trying to turn it into a tourist destination. They're trying to turn it into a sporting destination. That's why I think it was Deontay Wilder and Anthony Joshua and Andy Ruiz. They just fought there, didn't they?
How barbaric is Saudi Arabia that cage fighting is going to be used to soften their image?
No, but they're just trying to turn it into a sporting destination, whether it's boxing, whether it's Formula One, which whatever it is, just trying to bring things there, trying to give it a rebranding, so to speak. It's smart, you know, it is. And they've got the money, they've got all the oil there. So 100 million to them, I mean, it's still 100 million. But if I'm the UFC, I try and make that happen. But the only thing there, what did UFC say, Harrington? You said there was an issue from the UFC. They said something about Abu Dhabi.
Nothing confirmed out from Dana White. However, he did say that Abu Dhabi is the home of the UFC in the Middle East. So that would indicate a change in plans if they were to take that $100 million.
Yeah. I mean, I think fucking...
Yeah, because... Oh, sorry, go ahead, Lewis.
No, I was going to say, like, yeah, Dana White's, like, in with, like, the royal family over there. Like, they're like, there's, like, pictures of, like... Don't they, like, all train, like, the kings and princes? They all, like, love UFC and MMA?
Dude, I went to Dubai, and I'm in my hotel, and I get a little message saying there's somebody downstairs to greet you in the lobby. And I go downstairs, and it's one of the aides from His Royal Highness, the Sheikh Maktoum. And His Royal Highness was hoping he could get to meet you. He's very, very sorry that he couldn't make it, but he wanted to present you with this gift by way of an apology. And
it was a magic lamp?
Fucking... Oh, you are going to hell. Yeah, a nice Rolex. Beautiful Rolex. I was like, wow, incredible, incredible. I'll add it to the collection.
But he gave you a flying carpet. No way.
Yeah. It was incredible. No, if I'm not mistaken, though, and I could be wrong, but I know historically this was once correct, and maybe it still is. I think the royal family or some very highfalutin rich businessmen from Abu Dhabi own a small stake in the UFC. So I'm not sure if they'd be too happy about it going to Saudi Arabia. I don't know. I'm talking above my pay grade there. I don't know the details on any of that, but interesting. 100 million. I mean, Khabib versus Mayweather, you got to think that Mayweather would take that in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, why wouldn't you? Mayweather, yeah. I mean, not for no offense to Khabib. Khabib's great, but I don't even understand there's no value. I mean, even Dana White was talking about how much money Khabib is worth. Khabib is worth a lot of money, way more money than people might even realize. I guess he was saying he was worth upward of $50 million or something like that, and he's made some crazy deals all over the place after, after becoming champion. So in my mind, there's no reason for Khabib to box Mayweather. The money's not worth it. Let me make the point first before you disagree, because you're going to agree with me. There's no way you're going to disagree with this. Okay.
I like Lewis.
All right.
Thank you, Brendan. So the reason it's not worth it is because he's going to get fucking slaughtered. It's not like it's Conor where it's like at least he has a puncher's chance and he can go in there and fight a little bit. Khabib's boxing is nowhere near as good as Conor's boxing. It is going to be an embarrassment. It's going to make him look in a fight in a competitive, combat sport. He's going to get his fucking ass kicked, and he's undefeated. And the value of him just getting his ass kicked in a very embarrassing way, I think it takes away a ton of value and how good he is. And it's also misleading. It's going to make him seem like he's not as a bunch of a badass as he is. And Mayweather will never make that crossover to MMA. So what's the upside? If he's worth that much money, I would worry more about my legacy than chasing an extra $30 million. I mean, sure, maybe, I don't know. That just seems like a crazy amount of money.
Yep.
But I wouldn't do it if I was his team.
I agree. I see the point that you made, and you made it well. No, you're right, because... You know, Khabib's a wealthy man now, and good for him. Congratulations. And he is undefeated. And that is the whole mystique around him, that zero. Once that goes, you know, it's not quite the same. Now, of course, mixed martial arts and boxing are two different sports. But still, the allure of him being undefeated will have vanished to a lot of people if they see him get beaten off Mayweather. Of course, in mixed martial arts, the hardcore, they'll all know, but still a lot of the wider public will be like, oh, that's the guy that got his ass kicked off Mayweather again. And he's not a boxer, and you're right, Mayweather's never going to come over there. So, okay, all right, I'll give you that. But on the flip side, Khabib has said that he's down for it, you know, and I said this on the podcast a long time ago. I think Khabib would go the distance with him. I think Khabib would make it to the final bell. I don't think he'd beat him. Mayweather's too slick, too fast, too elusive. You know, he's 50 for a reason. But I still feel like Khabib will be standing after 12 rounds. But you're right. I agree with your assessment. He'd be a fool to take that. Why would you? Why would you want to take a fight that you're not going to get hurt in, particularly for $50 million? I mean, crazy. We ain't got too much time left here, but we'll keep going through these.
Because Michael Bisping has other engagements. I'm going to do what you do to me every time. Because Michael Bisping doesn't care about the listeners of this show. He said, fuck the listeners. Said a Monday show could be a short one.
No. Okay. Pull the curtain back, time. I was sat here at 12:30. Lewis, what was Lewis doing? He was taking a dump, right, for 25 minutes. If you'd have started, I'd have had two hours. But I'm sitting there while you luxuriate, take your time on a B-day. Do you know what I mean? Watering your assholes, perfuming it, and then spraying whatever you need onto your butthole. Okay. Well, I'm sitting here. I'm itching to get to work to produce the content for our listeners. But no, I had to sit here for 20 minutes talking to Brian. Okay, telling me about the concert he went to at the weekend and all types of. I can tell you all about Brian's weekend if you're interested. I can tell you all about it. I know what he did. I know where he went. I know what he had for dinner, because you were taking a dump on my time. So there you go. Where should we go?
Did you see the boxing match? We're talking about boxing between what's the YouTube guys? Which one is it?
Jake Paul.
It was Jake Paul and then some other dude.
I didn't see it. No, I didn't see it, but I did see the weigh-in video. I think when they had a I think when they weighed in, they squared up. Is it Jake Paul? Jake Paul, he is trying hard to be Conor McGregor. I mean, because have we got the video of that? I'm not sure, but if we do, I'm pretty sure I've seen McGregor do that. He got in his face. He was screaming. He was making some actions. I mean, hey, listen, he's working for Conor, so obviously it's going to inspire other people. Good for him, man. Good for him. How fast was the win? How long did it take him?
First round knockout, I believe. I don't know. I mean, he doesn't look that bad. I feel like he looked better than his brother looked when you actually watch the way he punches. Maybe pull up some of the fight footage, too, if you can. The other guy that he was fighting had no idea how to fight at all. But this guy, Jake Paul, fairly athletic. And apparently he's got a wrestling background and he boxes. I mean, look, if you're an athletic dude, you got a wrestling background. And he placed in college, I believe, in like states or something.
Wow.
And you're learning how to box and you're committed to boxing a few times a week. You could probably jump into celebrity boxing pretty easily and look good.
Never mind that. You could probably jump into mixed martial arts pretty easy because if he's placed at state in wrestling, I mean, that's high level wrestling and, you know, he's winning professional boxing matches. And, you know, the thing is, you know, YouTuber, you know, you say that and it just completely, you know, disparages any kind of skill that he has. But by all accounts, as you just said, you know, he went to the state finals for wrestling. That is not an easy thing to do. He's winning boxing fights. So, you know, forget the fact that he's a YouTuber. He seems like he's turning into a legit combat sports athlete. So good for him. You got to give credit where it's due. And it certainly seems like it's due there. He should be hitting up Bellator or UFC. I think he has hit up Bellator already, right, Brian? Or
Harrington? This is I know. I think Logan Paul wants an MMA fight. Oh. Jake Paul wants, I guess he wants to chase these boxing matches. So yeah, this is him in the weigh-in pretending to be Conor.
Yeah, and I'm not surprised his opponent got beat so quickly because when you watch this video now, look at the terror in his eyes. And I've just got to say as well, I mean, the guy on the right, he's not exactly a physical specimen. Definitely needs a haircut, right? Maybe a shave. I'm just not feeling, you know, I just feel like he didn't put any effort into this appearance right here. He hasn't seen a sit-up to save his life. Jake Paul, on the other hand, or Logan Paul, oh, there he is, pulling a crossbow.
Push. Oh, yeah, he was that broken.
That looks like
Conor
all day.
I was looking at his opponent. His opponent did look, he looked broken right shook. In that moment. Yeah, he looked shook.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pull up some of the actual footage from the fight. I'd rather see that. And I want Bisping to give me his feedback on this guy's form because I don't know. I see him like, oh, he looks pretty good to me, but I don't know shit.
All right, well, let's take a look. I'm kind of interested. I was about to say I feel like we've hit an all-time low. On this podcast, we're going to break down Jake Paul's boxing skills.
We had
let's
a
take
fucking.
A look. Who knows?
We had a competition to get your dog a dog to fuck. I mean, we've had lower moments on the podcast.
Hey, listen, that was one of the peaks. Hold on, jab looks good. Dropped him with a jab.
Yeah, he ends up knocking him out.
He's a lot bigger than his opponent as well.
Yeah.
The opponent looks nervous, but still, he's picking his shots well. That was a nice right hand.
Yeah, he's throwing with conviction. He's not like wincing when this other guy's throwing at him. You know, he.
What was the record of his opponent? Can you look that up?
I think
and his
he's.
Son, Gib.
They were both 0-0.
Both 0-0. Neither one of them.
Oh. Okay. So, I mean, listen, at the end of the day, if it's 0-0, when you start off in mixed martial arts or boxing or any kind of combat sports, if you're going to have a future, if you're going to do anything kind of good, you're supposed to go through your competition like that. You know, like I used to, like every fighter in the UFC, if you look at their records, at the start, they were knocking everybody out. And then they get to the UFC and they're fighting world-class competition and then things change. So, yeah, listen. He did what he was supposed to do. Good for him. He looks good. He does. You know, I'd love to hate on him, but I can't. You know, I mean, as you said, he was a good wrestler. Or that was his brother. He looks good here. It's a big arena. The pressure was on. The bright lights are on him. He's on TV or YouTube, whichever it was. And everyone's looking at him to potentially fail as well. And he went out there. He executed. He did a good job. You know, good for him. And I'll tell you what as well. If he inspires – some of those YouTubers, some of those kids that sit and watch him on YouTube, then I feel like he's doing a great thing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, kids need to get out there and do more physical exercise and get involved with sports as opposed to just sitting on the iPad. I mean, that's what Lucas does. He loves sitting on the iPad watching YouTube. We try and take him out, taking jiu-jitsu and whatnot. But a lot of children don't. A lot of children don't have that. And a lot of kids might see him making this crossover into professional sports, into boxing, and get inspired and think, you know what? I'm going to go down a boxing gym. So, well done. I commend the guy. How about that for a fucking U-turn?
They're young guys as well. It's all U-turns today on the show. All U-turns today on fucking Believe You Me. We're learning from our past experiences. We're growing as men. But, yeah, hey, you know what? It's not like he's going in there and he's making a mockery of the sport. He's fighting another guy who doesn't have a record. He wants to try it. These are young 23, 24-year-old guys. At what point do you say if they want to do this and they're going to go and train and put the time into it, why is that any different than a guy who maybe doesn't have a YouTube presence because they have popularity, they don't have the ability, or they shouldn't have the right to go and try to challenge themselves? So, yeah, if they take it serious, I think it's great. Let me ask you a question. What about like a CM Punk versus a Jake Paul? That's like the fight to make right there for CM Punk. You know, a guy who's got boxing, wrestling. CM Punk's got some jiu-jitsu. That's sort of the level that I think we should be looking at. What are you making that face for?
I don't know. You just love talking about CM Punk. And it's like, listen, I met CM Punk once or twice. He was a good dude. You know, I got nothing against him, right? And I think now he's commentating some events on Fight Pass and whatnot. I wish him all the best. But don't bring him back into my consciousness in terms of being a mixed martial arts fighter, okay? I'm not going to entertain it. I'm not going to hold on, do a U-turn. He's the fucking man. Sorry, no U-turn on that one. The steering lock is locked in. We're going straight forward, 180 degrees all the way to the moon. Okay. No, I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to break it down. I'm not breaking down Jake Paul versus CM Punk. That is the new low. That is the biggest low we've ever had on this podcast. If we're going to break down Jake Paul versus CM Punk, come on. Give me a break. Cheers, Dana.
Thanks, Dan. All right, look. We're going to wrap this one. Mr. Bisping.
No, we got 15 minutes. We're good. We've got 15 minutes. We can go through another couple of these topics if you want. Israel Adesanya. See, look at you just trying to get rid of, trying to shortchange our clients, our guests, our subscribers. Just fucking.
Oh, you know what?
What about you, Lewis?
Before you reset. Hold on. Let me just say really quick. Go to our YouTube channel right now. Subscribe. Click that little subscribe button. You get a notification every time we premiere a brand new show. Believe You Me Podcast. Or I'm sorry. What is it? BelieveYouMePod.com? BelieveYouMePod.com is a website. You can get all the latest episodes from the YouTube to audio to whatever it is. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, any of those podcast apps that you might use. And you can get the entire on-demand library of the Believe You Me podcast at GasDigitalNetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM for a 14-day free trial. Get a pre-release, uncensored, and more. So, all right. What do we got here that you like?
Yeah, so point 10 here. I do want to talk about this because it's heartbreaking, to be honest. And maybe I did see a headline about it, but I never had a chance to really delve deep into it. So maybe you can shed some light, Harrington, here. So Bellator champion Rafael Lovato Jr. will be out indefinitely with a brain injury. This quote that I have here, Harrington, is that him speaking? I'm assuming it is.
Yeah, it was him on Joe Rogan's show last week.
So in the words of Rafael Lovato Jr., unfortunately, no impression. I don't know what he sounds like. Is he Brazilian? He's Brazilian. So he's like, oh my gosh, I go to the radiologist and with really no candor. That's fucking more Arnold Schwarzenegger. What am I doing? He says the radiologist, really with no candor or an easy or soft way of saying it, was like, dude, have you seen your brain before?
That's a stupid question.
There's some stuff in here that you... I know. He's like, have you seen your brain, motherfucker? Your eyes in the back of your head? So what are you talking about? No, I haven't seen my brain.
Are you really a doctor?
What kind of trick question is this? What is this? A museum for ants? It needs to be at least 6 times bigger. Anyway, the radiologist, really with no candor, was like, dude, have you seen your brain before? There's some stuff in here that you need to see. He pulls me into the room and shows me on the screen, pointing out what looked like little balls. It looked like something was wrong, not a normal scan, but I don't know, like shades of discoloration. He could see that it wasn't normal. He didn't even know what it was at the time. I go back and he tells me that he did some research and he believes that I have a disease called cavernoma. He hits me with that. I had no idea what cavernoma was. He said, look, I'm not signing this paper. You need to go see a specialist and get it looked at. But as far as I know, you should not fight. You should not be fighting. Listen, I'm just going to throw it out there. This sounds like the doctor from Family Guy. Do you know what I mean? This doctor, oh, have you seen your brain before? Oh, it's okay. Me neither. Is this guy a real doctor? Is he a licensed physician, Lewis?
I don't know, man. I would just say I would not be trusting a Brazilian doctor. Nobody's ever been like, you know what? Who has the best doctors in the world? Brazil. I would go see some sort of specialist in another country. He's seen a fucking witch doctor in a tree. This guy doesn't know what he's talking about.
Second opinion is needed for this. Cavernoma? I mean, is that even a real thing?
I'm looking it up right now. Let's see. It is called cavernous. It's a type of benign vascular tumor. I'm doing my Arnold Schwarzenegger.
It is not a tumor. It is not a tumor, okay?
Where a collection of dilated blood vessels form a lesion. Because of this, blood flow through the cavities and caverns is slow. Additionally, the cells, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, this guy doesn't even know.
Okay. Show me, scroll up. I want to see symptoms of cavernoma. Okay, so the symptoms, cavernoma often does not cause symptoms, but when they do occur, they can include, there's another U-term. It does not cause symptoms, but when it does cause symptoms, they can include bleeding, fits, headaches, neurological. Okay, let's go through them. Bleeding, tick, fits, tick, headaches, tick, neurological problems such as dizziness, slurred speech, tick, weakness, numbness, tiredness, memory problems,
double tick, vision,
double vision, one eye.
Yeah, that's not double vision.
I've got half vision.
All right.
The severity and duration of symptoms. Anyway, there you go. Poor guy, man. Listen, we're joking, but fuck me. I mean, that is the real. Can you just bring up causes of cavernoma, please? Final thing. I'm assuming getting hit in the head. What causes? In most cases, there's no clear reason why a person develops this. The condition can sometimes run in families. Less than 50% of cases are thought to be genetic. But in most cases, cavernoma occurs randomly. Some cavernoma cases have been linked to radiation exposure, such as previously having radiotherapy to the brain, usually as a child. Okay, so it's not actually saying that it's caused from combat sports or blows to the head or anything like that. So it could just be that. So it's not necessarily linked to his choice of career, correct?
No, we don't know that. And, you know, I mean, good luck to him. That sucks.
It really is.
You know better than most what it's like to have, you know, injuries and things like that, you know, fuck with your career. But this guy, you know, for all intents and purposes, what's his record? How long has he been around?
I know the name. Unfortunately, I don't know too much about him.
He's a champion.
Yeah, he's 10-0. In his last fight, he beat Gegard Mousasi the 185 title.
Oh, wow, shit, just beat Gegard Mousasi. You know, coming out party, so to say. I mean, it's a guy who's just started to really get on the map. But 10-0, potential massive future. So, you know, good luck to him. Who am I thinking of? Wasn't there somebody else? Okay, you know who I'm thinking of? It wasn't a brain condition. It was a heart condition.
Stefan Struve.
Remember there was a thing for they were concerned that his career was going to be cut short. I don't remember the details of it, but it sort of has shades of that. And Stefan Struve came back, you know, strong, and he still competes to this day. So hopefully this will be something that is looked at. We do make these jokes, but we're doing it in the sense that we're hoping that it's good news and it's just going to be something that this guy didn't know what he was talking about.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, it's tragic. It really is. Anytime something like that, I remember when I was going through it, going to the doctor every week, getting my eyes checked, hoping there'd be an improvement, just begging and hoping and praying that I could get licensed to fight, you know. In fact, I'm not turning this about me, but I sat down, I was last week on one of the many nights when I was alone, when Rebecca was gallivanting in Australia, there was a copy of my book there and I just picked it up and I just randomly opened it and it was on a page and it was talking about how I used to go there and it brought tears to my eye. It kind of made me cry. So check it out. Quitters Never Win. It's available. But still, I was going to say, everybody, going back to Lovato Jr. there. I was going to say people need to understand the risks involved with combat sports, but as we just learned, not necessarily linked the two of them, but even still, that does stand. Respect the sport, respect your body, respect combat sports. And I wish this guy all the best, because that fucking sucks. As you said, coming out party against Musasi, career probably just about to take off, 10-0. My thoughts are with you, buddy. They really are.
I know. And hopefully that works out well for him. And honestly, thoughts and prayers. All right. What else? I mean, look, we had some questions, and we actually thank you very much for all the people that did send in questions. We had a bunch and a bunch of good ones. So keep on sending in those questions. We're going to wait till Wednesday's show. We'll do a nice long show on Wednesday because we'll both have a little bit more time that day. But keep on sending your questions, bympod@gmail.com. We love the video questions. We love fan art. We love all that stuff. So please keep sending it. The more creative, the better it is. Some guy got mad because we didn't play his rap. Dude, we can't play every rap. Sometimes the raps are garbage. I'm sorry, sir.
I have a lot of people tell me, hey, I've been sending in so many video messages and it doesn't get played. So listen, if it's a rap, maybe that's why. If it's crap, maybe that's why. Okay. I just can't help it. You know what I mean? I've just got music flowing through my bloodstream. You know, I could just rap all day, buddy. It's crazy. I'm a lyrical genius. I'm a cunning linguist. And on that note, I guess we'll say goodbye. We will see you Wednesday. We're going to break down UFC 247. We're going to delve deep into the mind of Jon Jones. We're going to look at the massive mountain that Dominic Reyes has to potentially climb to dethrone the king and continue in his quest to be world champion. We're going to break down the co-main event and go down the card a little bit in more detail, and we're going to answer your questions. But until then, look after yourself and be safe. Lewis?
Mr. Bisping, thank you so much. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you on Wednesday. Peace.